Analysis implies the analyzer. Whether it is a professional analyzer, the analyst, with his background, with his knowledge, with his particular idiosyncrasies, Jungian or Freudian or some other modern expert, he is conditioned as the analyzed is also conditioned. If the professional does not help us to completely dissolve the psychological danger in which we live, then what is one to do? If analysis is not the way, because that involves time, and if you analyzed yourself very, very carefully, step by step, your analysis must be so free, without any prejudice, without any bias, and each experiment, each testing must be so complete, so free, that the next analysis must not carry over the knowledge of the past. Otherwise you are using that knowledge to examine the present. And therefore, you are using that which is dead to understand that which is living. I hope you see all this. And that involves time. And if one has to analyze everything every day, one hasn't the time, the energy. And perhaps we may be able to do it the end of one's life, but then life is finished. And perhaps one says to oneself, I'll understand myself through my dreams. Probably most of us do dream a great deal. And it is said, unless you dream, you may go mad. And I've been experimenting, I've been told, not that I'm a reader of any of these things, that through experiments they have found that dreaming is necessary, part of existence. And one says to oneself, does one understand oneself through dreams? Again, they need interpretation. And who is to interpret them? The professional or yourself? If you interpret them, they must be interpreted very, very correctly, truly. And are you capable of doing it? And one asks, is it necessary to dream at all? Perhaps that may open up a totally different avenue. If one questions the necessity of dreaming, because after all, during the day, there are all these trains and trusses the ugly quarrels, the nagging, the fears, the bullying of the authority, and so on. There is this constant, conscious, everyday struggle. And perhaps when one goes to sleep, why should these struggles continue? Sleep may have a totally different meaning altogether. I think it has. So that the brain, which has been so active, protecting itself, thinking, planning, struggling throughout the day, that brain, when it goes to sleep, why should it continue its activity? Why can't it rest completely? So that when it wakes up the next morning, it is rejuvenated, it's fresh, young, and not burdened. So when during the sleep, when the brain is completely quiet, I don't know if you have experimented with it, if you have, not according to the expert, but for yourself. If you have gone into it sufficiently deeply, I'm sure you'll have found that a brain so quiet, so relaxed, so extraordinarily alert and orderly comes to a different state altogether. I think sleep has great significance in that way. But if that sleep is a constant process of thought, constant movement and reaction of the brain, then that sleep is a disturbance. And in that there is no rest. So, is it possible not to dream at all, knowing that unless there is order in daily existence, then it must dream? Because that is the way of an intimation of the unconscious. So can the brain be so awake during the day so free to examine, to observe all its reactions? Its conditioning, its fears, its motives, its anxieties, its guilts. So free to observe and not suppress it, not avoid it. So that during the day there is order. Because that, I don't know, again, are you interested in all this? Because of sleep? Or are you going to experience something miraculous? Or read some nirvanic plane or Buddhist, whatever it is? This is extraordinarily interesting if you go into this. If you do it yourself, not let somebody else do it for you.